cutting edge guests, awesome, uncensored, jaw-dropping information, plus funny memes, good deeds, and loads of laughter. Kind of have it all. Ladies and gentlemen, if your soul's awake, then welcome, because you're in the right place. Well, good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Sovereign Soul Program, a podcast that stands for love, levity, and liberty, because after all, love is the most powerful force in the universe, and laughter is the best medicine, especially covering serious topics in all matters, ancient, current, and quantum, right? I'm your host, Brad Wozniak. We have an incredible show here for you today. Coming back to the show is Dr. Kirk Elliott, PhD, two times PhD, an economist, sovereign wealth advisor, and theologian, bridging the spiritual. And now, Dr. Kirk Elliott, I must tell you that everything you've been saying and shouting from the mountaintops for a year, 80% of the world's economists are now saying, oh yeah, I think we're in a recession or we're kind of going to a depression. And you're like, the numbers don't lie, folks. It's been there, right? So congratulations for leading the herd.
Well, you know, it's just crazy. So I'm reading some headlines, you know, this morning and yesterday, and mm-hmm. and they're mind-numbing me. The narrative that mainstream media is pushing out there is absolutely ridiculous. So right. Goldman Sachs, all right, one of the big boys on the block, right?
Yeah.
So they say there's an increasing probability that we're going to go into a global recession. That's like, okay, I'm not discounting that we're in a global recession,
right?
But the probability seriously is 100% because we're there. So when you look at what the definition of a recession is, it's two quarters of declining, you know, growth, right? So we've had, going back to early 2021 in COVID, quarter after quarter after quarter. So technically speaking, if you want to be technical about it, we're in a global depression.
Yeah.
You know, anytime more than three quarters in a row is actually a depression. Well, that's what we're in. So the things that they say, and here's why they say it though, right? Because if you look at what Dave Malpass, president of the World Bank, said last week, or the IMF, or Jerome Powell, they're all saying the same thing. It's Putin's fault. Or Biden, you know, he says it's Putin's fault. Right. It's his fault that we have this global thing going on and all this inflation. It's like they can't say that it was them that did it, right? Because we've had inflation that was going on long before the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't amplify it, right? Because food prices, grain prices, oil prices are going up because of that conflict. But we had it long before. But so their narrative has to be the probability of a recession is pretty bad, meaning it's happening and it's going to come. But it started long before the conflict. But nobody can take blame for their own actions, right? They got to blame Putin, and who better to blame than him, right?
Yeah, no kidding, right? And I guess you using that old adage on their side, let's pass the buck, pass the blame, so we still look good. Are they blaming the crypto market crash on him too? I mean, we just saw two days ago, Binance locked 1,100 of their, it was Coinbase, this one, locked 1,100 of their employees out of work email. They show up to work just because they were getting laid off. We saw that with BitBuy, which is another exchange. And Binance, up until yesterday at least, were still reporting to block withdrawals of Bitcoin. This is the largest crypto exchange for Bitcoin in the United States. Blocking withdrawals on a cryptocurrency. It's not like China and the bank run we've seen going on here. I think we got a report here from Reuters. I'll pull up if you want to talk us through what else is going on in the economy. And by the way, and obviously why, silver is the silver lining. Silver bullion, physical silver bullion, is the silver lining for everybody to get through this, you know, from a saving standpoint, and my gosh, you know, from a wealth creation standpoint as well. Let me pull up that China article here. You had also mentioned China last week. I was watching you on an interview, right? And why do you think it's China that is starting that bank collapse and the insolvency? At least it's finally getting out there instead of here in North America today, where banks are insolvent, as we understand from our last interview you and I have done, but they're not reporting it. So why China? Why is China kind of being the whistleblower of their citizens?
Well, So China's got some issues. So their banking system is more corrupt than American. they had to keep their economy afloat for a decade, right? And so what were they doing? Building infrastructure, building a new Silk Highway, they're building ghost cities, right? Just massive cities to keep investment coming into China, pretending like, because they're the manufacturing superpower of the world, that everything was growing, everything was booming. That brings in foreign capital into China, but yet there's simply not enough revenue. So here's where, okay, so what does that headline say? It said,
China bank protests stopped by health codes. Yeah.
So the banks are truly running out of liquidity. So you have to take one more step back and say, why are the banks running out of liquidity in China? Well, one of the biggest leading indicators that I look at is the Baltic Dry Index. So what does the Baltic Dry Index basically measure? Mm-hmm. Well, it measures raw materials like coal, steel, you know, aluminum, things like that, that are being put on those big cargo ships and going through the shipping lanes from like the manufacturing producing countries of the world, like Australia, let's say, pushing it to China, the manufacturers of the world. Mm-hmm. So when manufacturers are building a bunch of stuff, that index will be really high. So where is that index today? It's about 80% below its high. So the whole global economy is operating at 20% of what it once was. So here's
20%, the whole globe, worldwide.
The whole globe is working,
my goodness, at,
you know, on the manufacturing side. But and we're hearing what, after COVID, the manufacturers are working again, people are buying again, the economy is robust, but it's not. It's simply not. And so who else doesn't think that it is? I'll tell you two people. One is a banking institution, one is a person, right? So 3 weeks ago, the IMF basically said, hey, the global growth forecast, like global GDP, is 4.1%, which was a decline from what they had projected. Right. And then last week, the end of last week, David Malpass at the World Bank said, we're adjusting that to 2.9. Mm-hmm. So when you look at it, it's like, all right, well, it's still growing, right? But here's the problem. 4.1 to 2.9 is a 1.2% nominal difference, right? But when you look at the math, what is 1.2% of 4.1 where it started? Mm-hmm. They're expecting the global growth to come down by 31%. I mean, that's not a small number.
No.
When you look at that, the global growth is in decline. And then you've got people like Elon Musk, very smart guy. He's a billionaire, right? Owns Tesla, SpaceX, the whole thing. You don't have to agree with his politics or what he wants to do with putting chips in people's heads, but he's a very brilliant business guy. Well, what did he say? He said, I'm going to lay off 10% of my workforce for Tesla. Okay. Why in the world, Brad, would people not want to buy Teslas when the price of gas is through the roof?
Right.
Diesel fuel is $5.69 a gallon. Unleaded is like pushing $5 a gallon average nationwide.
Yeah.
So you'd think the demand for Teslas, an electric car, would be off the rails, just through the roof. Mm-hmm. Well, they would be, except they're expensive cars. Yes. And what Elon Musk is saying is, I don't think anybody's going to be able to afford my cars moving forward. So therefore, I'm going to lay off 10%, 10,000 workers out of the 100,000 workers he has, right? This is a problem. Mm-hmm. That people in the know, manufacturers, banks, are looking at the global growth as really diminishing. Hmm. There's one other big thing that affects all of us, because we all own houses, right? Or we live in a house, we might rent. But mortgages, so look at this. And for adjustable rate mortgages surges because they can't afford the higher interest rates. We've had artificial interest rates for so long that are held low that people could do 30-year mortgages, 15-year mortgages at the lowest rates ever. But now that rates are going up, people are pushing towards adjustable rate mortgages, meaning there's probably a balloon payment in 5 years.
Right.
And they're not going to be able to refinance because rates are going up. Interest rate cycles are long-term cycles. Mm-hmm. I would urge people, I would shout it, do not ever, ever, ever fall into the trap of getting an adjustable rate mortgage, because at some point you're not going to be able to buy it. So also with the interest rates, Brad, here's this is creepy too. So 2 months ago, the Fed did the first rate increase. It went up a quarter of a point.
Right.
Last month, it went up half a point. Mm-hmm. This month, it went up three quarters of a point. See a trend?
You are over 1.5% increase in mortgage rates in 6 weeks.
Yeah. But in 3 months, which is what it, you know, the 0.25, 0.5 wow. and 0.75.
Wow.
So that's a 1.5% increase in the federal funds rate. What did mortgage rates do? They're up almost three.
That's
so
they've three. Almost so, up.
Yeah. It's because you could used to be able to get a loan for like 3%.
Yeah.
But now it's about 6%. Mm-hmm. So the mortgage industry is quite savvy and smart. And why are they? Because they're giving you, let's just say you got a loan for a house and they're giving you a big chunk of change. Let's say they give you $500,000 to buy a house.
Right.
And they're expecting you to pay it back over the next 30 years or over the next 15 years. So right. they're very forward thinking. They have to look into the future mm-hmm. and say, what do we think the future looks like? Mm-hmm. And if they don't like what it looks like, which obviously they don't, because they doubled the rate more than what the federal funds rate did. You know, it went up 1.5%, theirs went up three. So what they're saying is anybody who buys a house from us right now, we're not really convinced that the economy is going to do good and we're going to get paid back. Therefore, we're yeah. going to get a higher rate of interest while we can yeah. to actually take advantage of these markets and yeah. actually get compensated for the risk that we're taking, right? So how much has the mortgage industry declined since the beginning of the year? The demand for mortgages down 50%. 50.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. And look at that. Look at that headline. JP Morgan, one of the largest lenders in the country, mm-hmm. they laid off hundreds. Wells Fargo laid off over 500 mortgage brokers, and Wells Fargo is the largest really? In the country. I mean, this tells us what they're thinking is coming, yep. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. I mean, the signs they're finally making it into mainstream media. When it gets there, right? When you and I did a show 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, Jamie Dimon, CEO, JP Morgan Chase Bank said, you know, to Wall Street investors, a hurricane is coming, be prepared, right? Well, finally that, you know, they're starting to leak out those sound bites. And now it's just dropping like crazy, whether it's in crypto, whether it's stock market, whether it's in China, the bank insolvency, we've seen it in Canada. Although obviously, because it's state controlled, state run media, whether you're on CBC or Bell Media or TELUS, and potentially I've heard as well as in Australia, New Zealand, but I haven't been able to verify that, Dr. Elliott, that the banks are insolvent, right? We know for a fact Canada forced the banks to sell off all their gold. So right. the Canadian loony is not even backed by anything, right? No. You know, what are you going to do? Granite, precious metal, precious minerals, you know, in the Great White North in Canada? No, and definitely not pine trees and beavers and moose either. So silver bullion, we have discussed multiple times the key for silver bullion versus coins and why we've got this amazing price ratio historically. If you don't mind, for those that are new that are joining us and have not heard us speak before and you share this data, would you mind taking us through why silver bullion is the number one asset? We've seen a 10.2% year-over-year growth in 22 years from the analysis you've done and share with all of your clients and potential clients. Why it's the number one asset, investment asset, poised for explosive growth in the next few months and years ahead. And then also, if you could tell us why people can't get that from their investment advisor and financial right. advisor, they have to talk to you and your firm actually in order to buy silver bullion.
Yeah. So, okay. There's a few different things, and everything that I'm going to talk about is pointing towards higher silver. Number one is the ratio between gold and silver. Historically, over a couple hundred years, that's been 20 to 1. Mm-hmm. And about 20 years ago, it started to bump up to where now it's 80 to 1, right? But the historical norm is 20 to 1. So what does that tell us? It means one of two things. Either gold is overvalued or silver is undervalued. When it's at the all-time highs, that's what it tells you. Right. So how do you know yeah. if gold is overvalued or silver is undervalued? Well, you have to ask some more questions. You have to say, what causes gold and silver to move? Unsustainable debt, political chaos, geopolitical conflict, inflationary pressures all cause gold and silver to go up.
Yeah.
We have them. Yep, we've got them. So silver platter. It's not overvalued. Gold is going to continue to grow up, which means silver has some catch up to do. Mm-hmm. So that ratio comes back to the norm, which is about 20 to 1. So it'll come down to 71, 60 to 1, 50 to 1, 40 to 1. Well, what does that mean once we get to 40 to 1? That's easy math, right? So at 80 to 1 is where it started, 40 is half. So that means if we sell our silver and roll it into gold when the ratio is in half, you double the amount of ounces of gold that you get. What, there's nothing better than free gold, right? So, yeah. So that's an amazing thing. Yeah. So that's point number one. Point number two is the industrial demand for silver is off the charts, the highest it's ever been.
Okay.
Perk, that doesn't even make any sense because you just said how the economy is sluggish and not growing, right? It's true. Imagine if it were what the demand for physical silver would be. Right. But what we're seeing right now is coming off of 2 years of COVID, when manufacturers weren't working, they were just selling their existing inventory. Mm-hmm. So now inventory is gone. Manufacturers are back working and there's not an awful lot of silver. The industrial demand for silver in 2022 alone is 1.2 billion ounces. Mm-hmm. Okay. The global production from the mines is 2 billion ounces. That means there's 800 million ounces left for all of the investors around the world. That's really not very much. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's even wilder than that. Bank of America and JP Morgan Chase are the largest shorters of silver. You know, they have all these short contracts to manipulate markets, drive the price down. JP Morgan has 1.2 billion ounces short. So does Bank of America. So wait, that's 2.4 billion ounces.
Right.
There's only 800 million ounces left for investors and only 2 billion ounces of silver produced in a year. They've got more in a short position that's actually produced in a given year. But you don't have to look at those. You want to look at the investment amounts of silver. That's 800 million. Yeah. There's three times the amount of silver out there for investors. This is crazy. Yeah. This is absolutely insane. And when you have those kind of price disruptions, low supply, high demand, price goes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll go up right to the moon. There's a banner scrolling across here for those listening on Spotify or Apple or Pandora. KirkElliottPhD.com/soul. We're going to continue here for a few more moments, but you can go there. You can check out the website. I will also bring it up here in a few moments' time as well. But KirkElliottPhD.com/soul, S-O-U-L. Lowercase. You can go there, take a look, has an amazing team. A couple other things I want to just bring forward for the folks that are joining us for the first time, because this is moving at a freaking freight train off the rails. 3 months ago on March 22nd, we're now June 22nd, 3 months to the day they pulled Russia off the SWIFT banking system. And Russia just announced yesterday it's creating its own blockchain to replace the SWIFT banking system worldwide. All right. And Russia is also the country in the world that owns the largest amount of gold bullion that is purchased off the market. And EU countries have to buy gas from Russia, their oil, in either gold or Russian rubles. And the US dollar, as of 5 weeks ago, is no longer the world's reserve currency. It is actually the Russian ruble. So the value of your money sitting in your savings account could literally vanish overnight. And this is something I'd like to bring up, Dr. Elliott, and share this report that came up with Credit Suisse on how it has downgraded the stock market. And they expect earnings, it'll continue to fall as earnings normalize. To me, I'm calling bullshit on earnings normalization here, because there's nothing normal about locking down an entire world of 8 billion people roughly for upwards of 2 years and stopping an economy for the first time in history like this. You know, even in the World War One and Two, economy is still moving forward. There's production. Yeah. This place is, we were all locked down. So what's your take on this and in the stock market? And what we started with was China and the insolvency crisis of banks in China, now about to reach our shores in North America, where people are going to go maybe a week from now or 3 weeks from now. But a lot of us in the truther community are getting information that roughly come July 4th, July 1st, long weekend for Canadians, if you go to your bank, you may not have any cash you'll be able to take out because they'll lock you down because they don't have it.
Well, they don't have it. And I don't want them to take your word for it or mine either. Hmm. So in let's see, it was December of 2020. Mm-hmm. The Fed basically pre-announced that by December 23rd or 21st of 2021, that they needed to actually, there's 15 banks needed to supply an orderly resolution plan to the U.S. bankruptcy court. Orderly resolution, what do you have to resolve? Something's obviously in disarray. Who's right. the recipient? U.S. bankruptcy court. How did they know that a year before they wanted them to make the report? And why did they pick those 15 banks? Mm-hmm. Probably because they knew what was coming down the road. And in the fall of 2021, when they did that reverse repo mechanism, they pulled $2.5 trillion of liquidity out of the banking system.
Yep.
So now there's no money left for banks to do what banks are supposed to do, which is lend money, right? And then you compound that with people who are trying to get loans because they've lost their job or whatever. And now they can't do it because they don't have income anymore. So they have to qualify for a non-standard type loan, show all your income statements and everything like that, and pay this much higher rate, which right. is going to amplify the worstness. That's not a word, but I made it one. The worstness of the economy right. because of their stinking policies. Jeez. Of raising interest rates and printing money like there's no tomorrow.
Yep.
So here's something to put into perspective. Mm-hmm. The country started in 1776. Mm-hmm. How much debt did we have then?
Zero. I imagine zero. You're right at zero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though we as Americans spend like drunken sailors, we can't spend it that fast. So on day one, it was zero. Go to 2008. So that's 230 years later, Obama's first year, in the national debt was 11 trillion. So it went from zero to 11 trillion mm-hmm. in 230 years. Mm-hmm. From 2008 until now, which is what? 13 years?
Yeah, give or take. I mean, by the month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So 13 years, it went from 11 trillion to 30.5 trillion. So we more than doubled what had taken 230 years to accumulate. We more than doubled that in just the next little bit of time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are you kidding me? So, right. So this tells us that, well, it tells us probably one of two things. As I read through like the Old Testament, let's say, you've got good kings and you've got bad kings.
Mm-hmm.
You've got good people and bad people. So which comes first? Does the society follow a bad king and become bad?
Right.
Or does a bad society elect a bad king, right? And the same thing with the good ones. I don't know. All I know is that they come together. Mm-hmm. They go together. You got a bad king, you got a bad society. I don't know which chicken or the egg, which one comes first. But here's what we have right now. We've got a country where politicians aren't going to get elected unless they promise people that they're going to give them something, right? So it's not necessarily a victim mentality, but yet it's, I'm just not going to vote for you unless you give me money, give me something, right? Entitlements. This is why they have to print money out of thin air, stimulus money to keep the people happy. This has been going on for so long that now it's mathematically impossible to pay it back.
Yeah.
So therefore, if you can't pay it back, the debt is going to consume and crush any nation. Mm-hmm. Rome fell. The Roman Republic fell when 1/3 of the population was getting entitlement payments. Mm-hmm. 1/3. How much is America? A little bit bigger than 1/3. We're at 98%.
Wait.
If you
what?
Yeah, follow my math on this. So
I will.
So you go to whitehouse.gov.
Yeah.
Look at the budget. Mm-hmm. Look at the federal budget. Mm-hmm. Go to summary table S1, where it shows all the revenues coming in, the federal tax revenue, and it shows the expenses. So the amount of money that we bring in, let's call it, you know, it's like 4.8 trillion or something like that. If you add up Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, women, infant, children programs, and other mandatory payments, all the entitlements, that's all that is that I just mentioned.
Wow.
That's 98% of what we bring in. So add now the interest only payments on the national debt.
Yeah.
That you can't get rid of either. No. That's 400 billion this year. So now you add entitlements plus interest payments we're at 102% of what we bring in as a nation in federal tax revenue. We haven't even added education, infrastructure, defense budgets, everything else that it takes to run a country. How can you sustain yourself when entitlements and mandatory payments are 98% of what we bring in as a country? You cannot.
Cannot.
Remember, absolutely Rome
cannot.
Fell.
Yeah.
Rome fell one with third. One third, yeah. 33%, not 98%. We're at the point where I don't want to be a harbinger of gloom and doom, mm-hmm. right? All I'm doing is just saying the reality of the world that we're living in. But here's where I can have a smile on my face, because when you invest into gold and silver, you invest into things that go up with inflation, you're going to be able to thrive during these kind of times, right? Those exact policies that cause the stock market to come down, the debt spiral to keep happening, are the same things that cause gold and silver to go up, Brad.
Right. And remarkable. Thank you for sharing that. 98% of everybody in America is receiving one aspect of entitlement payment. Absolutely incredible. What a way to put it. Thank you. And your site is up here, kirkelliottphd.com/soul, all lowercase. And you can go to that landing page. You can check out some of the videos that are on there. But obviously, this is where you want to book your phone call with your people. You know, one of your advisors directly with Dr. Elliott's firm here. And we've had people, loved ones of mine, have in the States have rolled over their entire IRAs. Because here's the thing. They see, like a tsunami, when the water goes out, folks are watching the water go out right now. And right. they're not fully aware, because many are staring at that television box, media, the virus, right? They're not aware that there is something massive behind it that's going to wipe them out. We're talking in financial terms using this metaphor, folks. And that's why they went whole hog. They went in there. You know, I have friends and family, as a client of myself, have recommended you. And they're over in Europe and in Canada. And are doing whatever they can to move forward with silver bullion, not coins, because you have spot price. You don't have to pay a retail rate if you're doing coins or funny little things like real silver bullion. And when they contact your office, Dr. Elliott, you know, how share with the audience how easy it is for people to buy silver bullion and then where it gets stored.
Well, it's
you don't have to worry about a bank coming after them because the bank can't cover their FDIC.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yep.
Yeah. So it's really easy. I mean, I'm not saying you like what Brad and I talked about, right? But you like the solution that we talked right. about. Mm-hmm. You just give us a call, 720-605-3900, or go to the form that you'd put on there, that link, mm-hmm. and you answer some questions like, what was it that Brad and Kirk talked about that caused you to want to reach out? What assets do you want to protect? Are they IRA? Are they non-IRA? We'll have a free consultation with you, because here's the thing. We can't use a cookie cutter approach because everyone's different, right. ages, different desires, different dreams, different income needs. You know, everyone's different. So we'll give you a personalized recommendation on how to get out of harm's way, how to protect and preserve your IRAs, old 401ks, old 403bs, cash accounts, brokerage accounts, to get into physical silver. We're talking bars, not ETFs, not mining shares, not mutual funds, right. but actually bars or coins of silver or gold. And we buy that physical commodity for you. Mm-hmm. And then that's where our journey begins together, not ends. Because we'll always let you know it's time to buy, sell, reallocate, get out of Dodge, do whatever needs to be done. We'll let you know. So when that time is right, you don't have to watch the markets like a hawk, because that's what we do. Mm-hmm. And we're good at it. We really are. And we've been doing this for 27 years. And what makes us really unique is that we blend the political with the economic, with the social climate of the land, because all of those puzzle pieces fit together to give us the whole of what we're looking at. And therefore, we can advise properly to be in the right place at the right time, given the landscape that we're living under.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So key. And what we've seen here as well with the landscape is there's almost no escape, really. We're looking at the article right here with Bybit reducing its workforce as crypto slumps, right? So if you're into crypto, we're seeing the exchanges that are holding you back, like we mentioned earlier. And, you know, we're even seeing over here, Celsius has frozen their assets as another exchange. And they say they blame it on extreme market conditions. Remember, crypto is not to be corruptible, right? It's supposed to be out of that fiat currency system, right? Oh, it's not corruptible. That's fine. You got, it's all digital blockchain asset coins. Well, guess what? Now, because they were offering payouts of 19% APY, they can't cover the losses to pay out to people because of what they've done in hedged bets. So the rug has been pulled out from underneath many of these exchanges. And I'm not gloating. It's just a fact of everything that's going on here, all right, with the crypto market. I have some myself. The only thing that has held throughout all of this has actually been silver, gold, those precious metals.
And I
like to look at it as, I had to describe it to one of my loved ones, and she was like, well, if silver's trading at 85 to one, you know, 85 to gold, then it goes up to 40. How does it work? I'm like, well, sweetheart, it goes right to here. And when you do that, you've got that leap. You've just immediately made that massive, massive wealth gain by doing nothing but believing in the fact that this is where all the countries and all the world's central banks are buying precious metals right now, in particular, gold and silver. And now we're seeing the world's first crypto-backed currency in gold being rolled out. Why? Well, we know why, because this is the safe haven. And silver is literally the silver lining in that economic storm of clouds. That's the way I have to put it. And this is a way we save humanity, right? Financially. And then we also have health freedom. And this is one of those ways we do it. This is why Dr. Kirk Elliott and I get on and are so rampant about shouting this message, because that tsunami's here. It's literally here.
Yeah.
Dr. Elliott, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Is there anything else you'd like to leave off with the folks here? So bring up the webpage again on kirkelliottphd.com/soul. Amazing team. You guys are growing by leaps and bounds too, right? So
yeah,
I start with you guys, I mean, it's double the amount of people that you've hired. You're almost
I know it. You're growing with us. It's awesome.
Yeah.
The only thing I just like to end with is don't be gripped and paralyzed by fear. Fear causes inaction.
Right.
If you don't act, you should be afraid. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
But you don't have to. If you act, if you take that leap of faith, if you step out, go into the right place at the right time, this is where you can have a smile on your face, because it doesn't matter how bad things get. There's always something that's growing. You just have to find it. Happens to be silver right now. Safest asset in the world. Give me a call. Reach out to us on that form that you supplied, Brett, and we'll take care of your free consultation. And then that's where our journey together begins.
Give it a call. And as my final point, the reason why your investment advisor and financial advisor has not told you about this is because, as Dr. Elliott has shared, there's something called selling away, and they are at risk of their job by referring even a small allocation into physical silver bullion, because their firm doesn't get a kickback in the stock market. And that's why the big banks have continued to play this game and win up until now. All the best. Thank you, Dr. Elliott. Appreciate that. Say hi to all your lovely staff for us, please. And Sarah and Amy and all the great folks there, and Hannah, and all the best to you, man. Thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
Cheers. You have a good one.
All right. Thanks for joining us on the program, ladies and gentlemen. Please like, follow, subscribe, share this with 9 friends and family. And of course, if you enjoy our blinged Buddha firing red pills from his 9 mil, let us know.